Welcome to 2020. Doesn't that feel weird? 2020. Man, we are here. It's hard to believe. God has given us today. He's given us this year. What are we going to do with it? He's brought us to this place and time for a purpose, right? God does nothing by mistake. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. Now it's time for us to live into that purpose, the way God has created us and intends for us to live into it. As you begin this new year, there's always there's a sense of reboot. You know what I mean? Reboot, refresh, a newness of life. It's that time of year when we start to set, you know, the resolutions, things that we want to do that we didn't do last year. So I wonder, how are we going to live in 2020 that's different than how we lived in 2019? And if we don't do anything different in 2020 than we did in 2019, have we really grown? Have we really been matured by God? Or are we just simply living into a maintenance lifestyle? Y'all know what I mean by maintenance lifestyle? It gets frustrating, doesn't it? Sometimes it just seems like all we're doing is maintaining, keeping life going, doing the same old, over and over and over again. We live a maintenance existence. But I want to tell you guys this. I believe with all my heart that God intended more for us than a maintenance existence. I don't believe that He created us, saved us, and sustains us for maintenance, but for so much more. If we feel that way, chances are we're living that way. Did you hear that? If you feel you're living a maintenance existence, chances are you are. And the only person that can get you out of that is yourself through the power of the Spirit within you. Paul speaks to a newness of life. We know this passage. Listen to this passage. Colossians 3. He says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above." That are above. Where Christ is. Where He is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on the things above, which is kingdom living. Okay? Set them on things above. Not on things that are on earth. That's maintenance living. "For you have died, and your life is now hidden in Christ." When Christ, by the way, who is your life, appears, you will also, and this is awesome, guys, to think about, you will appear with Him in glory. Doesn't do much for you? Isn't that amazing? Christ wanted us to live deeply, deeply in the kingdom of God. Deeply. In fact, I want to tell you guys this. The kingdom of God was the primary message of Jesus. He spoke of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, more than anything else He talked about. It was at the crux of His message, His gospel message. In fact, his quick sermon was this: repent for what? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or near, or here. To repent. Let's talk about that for a second. What does He mean, repent? Just to say we're sorry, God, right? That's repentance, right? I'm sorry, God. Repentance is so much more, isn't it? Repentance doesn't just simply mean to say, I'm sorry. It means to recognize the things that we've done wrong, that are against God, against the ways He's asked us to live, and that we turn away from those things. But that's not it. That we turn to Him. We turn away from those things, and we turn to Him. It means to change your mind and have a complete change of heart. Now, I want you guys to realize the from and the to, okay? As we think about repentance and we start this new year off, and what are we repenting of and wanting to change? There's a from and there's a to. We are turning from the things in our lives that bind us to the world, kind of like in Ed's prayer of a minute ago of binding to God. We too often are bound to the world. So what we want to do is turn from the things that bind us to the world, but you can't simply turn from. You have to be turning to. And we're turning to and binding ourselves to God. Many people think about this, and we probably all have experienced this. Many of us try to repent by turning from our sins, right? We do it. We try to turn away. And the problem with that is we don't turn to God in the process. And so what we do is we try to pull ourselves, turn our way from sin, and try by our own power and our own will to do better. How's that work for you? Like a dog returns to its vomit, which is disgusting, we return to our sins over and over again. Why? And it, by the way, what happens when we do that? God, where are you? I'm trying to turn away from my sins, and you seem so absent, so far away from me. And all the while, he's sitting there going, well, because you never turned to me. You never turned your gaze towards me and my power and my will, because by that, all men can change. Everyone can turn. It's kind of like our New Year's resolutions, right? We set these New Year's resolutions, and how often do they fail within 2 weeks? We're all gung-ho. By the way, go to a workout place for the next 2 weeks. Go to a gym. What are you going to see? I mean, people galore. You will have a hard time getting on a treadmill, finding a weight to use, what have you. But give it how long? Couple of weeks. And then you have all the treadmills, the weights to use in the world. We do the same thing in our spiritual walk. God, I want to turn from these things. I want to get spiritually healthy. And so we go and we work out all on our own. And for a little while, we do okay. And then life hits. We've got to turn to God. He's the source of the power. Without that, you will fail. In order to for true repentance to occur in our life, we have to turn from our sin and turn towards God. We have to stop seeking the desire of the sin and start seeking the kingdom of God. Thank you, Andy. Didn't Jesus say that? Seek first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness and all this stuff. What will happen? It will be added to you. But put first things first. Don't confuse what you are seeking. We're seeking God and his kingdom, not ours, not ourselves. Jesus wants us to live in his kingdom, not in the kingdom of this age. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is here, you guys. Now here's what the kingdom of heaven is. Sometimes people go, what is it? It's wherever God reigns. Does God reign in this place, you guys? Then this is the kingdom of heaven. Right here. We're living it. But sometimes people get confused. But the Bible says the kingdom of God is here and it's near, but it also says the kingdom of God is in the future. Which is it? Yes. It's both. Jesus came to establish his Father's kingdom on this earth. He inaugurated the kingdom of God, and we are now living in it and getting to be blessed by it. But there is a future kingdom too. And the way to think about it is, some people call it the already but not yet, or the in part but in full later, right? It's this idea that we live in it in part. Think about it in this way. Let's think about the concept of peace, right? We can today, right now, in this moment, have peace of heart, can we not? Without peace in the world around us. But at some point, upon the return of Jesus, when we see him on the clouds, there will be established a peace forever with no sin, no tarnished souls, no conflict, but Jesus. And nothing will tear that apart. We live it now in part, but then in full. So today, now, we live in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, in part. The kingdom belongs to those who commit themselves to live holy lives under God's rulership, under God's authority, not their own. It is a kingdom not seen. It's a kingdom lived. Jesus said this, "My kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. If it were, if my kingdom was of this earth, my followers would fight to keep me from being handed over to the Jewish leaders. But my kingdom is not of this world." Amen? And so, we repent and we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By this, Jesus constantly offers us a newness of life. A newness of life that we can feel every single day. Don't y'all like that? That you can wake up in the morning and it's a new day. Y'all had anybody in here had a bad day before? Do you know what? If you get to wake up tomorrow, it's a new day. That day's gone. And this day has come. And it's a gift. It's a present to be lived for him and his name's sake, not yours. Yeah, I have to, this is totally not my notes, going to have to say this. I once was talking to one of my spiritual mentors about bad days, and he goes, "There's no bad days. There are just days. And in those days, there's bad and there's good. The real question is how are you living it?" Paul said this, "So we do not lose heart." Hear this, please. Hear this. We don't lose heart. "Though our outward self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed." How often? Day by day. Every day. "For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Nothing will compare to it. "And as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient." They're temporary. "But the things that are unseen," what are they, guys? Eternal. So what are you fixing your eyes on? The things that you can see, touch, taste, feel, or the things that you know are eternal? What does it mean to live in newness of life? That question I ask myself a lot, and I know people ask that. So I get it. I know these concepts. I agree with you, but how do you do it? How do you do it? Well, to live a kingdom life means that God truly becomes king. Who's king of your life? I like to hear the immediate God, but is he really? Look at your life for a moment. And if you're starting to think about what are you wanting to do for the coming year, and pull out a blank sheet of paper and describe to God your life. When you describe it to God, would it describe that he's king or you? Who's king of your life? If God is king and ruler of our lives, how do we live to honor the king every day? How do we live in the kingdom? And how we live in that kingdom is really tied to what we believe, you guys. What do you believe? Who do you believe he is? I really just kind of wonder for a moment. What if we believed in others around us the way we believe in God? Think about it this way.
Do I believe in wife? I mean, yeah. Who doesn't? I believe in wife.
So do you think you live your life any differently because you believe in wife?
I mean, yeah. I put the toilet seat down. If that counts.
Do you ever talk to wife?
No, man. I'm not. I don't really talk to wife. I'm not one of those wife nuts.
Oh yes, I believe in mom.
What do you think mom is like?
I think she's big and powerful, and she wants me to be happy.
What makes you happy?
Being comfortable and doing my own thing and not being bothered by my sister.
Anything else?
Getting lots of toys.
Does mom ever ask you to do anything?
If she did, that would make me very happy.
Sounds like mom is pretty easygoing.
Oh yes, she's very nice. I think she's smiling on me right now.
Yeah, I believe in boss. I mean, my views probably aren't orthodox, but sure. Yeah, I believe in boss.
Can you describe some of your views of boss?
Well, I think boss is really whatever we make him or her out to be. I mean, each person decides what kind of boss they want to believe in, and I don't think anybody should try to impose their views or act like their boss is the true boss. I mean, that's just intolerant.
So you don't think it matters whether you're right about boss or not?
Well, I don't really use words like right or wrong. I mean, I think it's all relative. You may see one thing about boss, and I see another thing about him or her. Maybe you think that boss says things like, get back to work and be on time, and that's fine, whatever, I'm okay with that. But don't act like I have to believe in that kind of boss.
What if we believed in those we love and those we work with the way we believe in God? What would it look like? Would that work very well? I don't think it works very well with God either. How would that work in our daily walk if our family, friends, people that we work with, we talked like that? I'm sure I believe in wife. Sure I believe in mom. There's a difference in believing in someone in an abstract way and believing in someone because you know them personally. It's very different. God does not want us to just believe in a concept of him. Do you hear that? There's too many people in the world that believe in God. There's not enough that have faith in him. He wants us to believe in him as we would believe in someone we love and have a deep relationship with. He wants us to believe in him in a very deep, concrete, and absolute way. God doesn't want us to have shallow beliefs or concepts. You know, these shallow beliefs that we can have about him. He wants us to have a deep faith in him. The Greek word that we translate in our Bibles for believe actually means to have faith in. It's a much deeper concept than just a simple belief. We can believe in God in a very shallow way, but if we have faith in him, that's different. Because we have entrusted ourselves to him. When we have faith in him. The deeper meaning of the word is to entrust something to someone. It's to trust someone to the point that you put it into practice. I can believe in something without being changed. Agree? I can say a bunch of good things about it, but be unchanged. But putting my faith in something or someone means that I can't help but be changed by the one I've entrusted myself to. We live in a world of compromised beliefs, you guys, all around us. Our beliefs are often based on concepts, on these abstract ideas, general notions about something. We've been taught these by others, by media, by school. We will generally accept concepts and believe in them if they do not conflict with our lifestyles and do not bring injury to the people that we love. However, when the concepts we believe in begin to have a negative effect on us or the ones we love, we may choose to compromise those beliefs or discard them altogether. We begin to compromise our beliefs in very subtle ways, as Satan did with Adam and Eve, right? Did God really say? Oh, I don't know. Did he? Let's think about that. Now, if we honestly seek the kingdom of God, to find God, the king, then his answers are the answers, not ours. God actually said some things. Did y'all know that? He had a few things to say about a few things. And those things that he said were there to help us come to him and help us seek him. But if we are seeking to find a way to honor our own desires and our own beliefs, God will also allow us to believe those. Did y'all know that? If we really want to twist and turn what we find in Scripture to make it suit our own needs, God will go, okay, go ahead and believe that. Because God is a God that gives us choice. Paul said this. This is Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Did y'all hear it? The righteous shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. It's all around us. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived, even since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made. So they are without excuse. We are all without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, but they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. God will allow us to go the path we choose, even if it is far away from him. Timothy was told by Paul, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Sure glad that's not happening today. Guys, that's happened since the beginning of time. Satan wants to lead us away from God. And all the while, this can happen while we believe we're pursuing him. We know we are on the path of righteousness and seeking the kingdom of God when his ways are our ways, not our ways, his ways. We do this and make it the truth. A lot of times we gather these people around us to make it truth because we want to believe in that rather than following the living truth. All while saying we believe in God. Truth is, we believe in God. We just believe in the God of self. So our compromised beliefs make us walking contradictions. We say we believe in God, but our actions speak against that. God is calling us to have faith in him, not just a simple belief and concept in him. He wants us to have faith. He wants us to make that confession that says, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and live it. Did you believe in Jesus Christ when you made that great confession? Or did you faith in him? Is your confession simply a concept that fits neatly into your current belief system? Or is your confession the transformative confession it's supposed to be? Changing you from the deep, from the inside out. Do you have shallow beliefs or do you have a deep faith? We know the answers to these questions when tough things happen, right? When everything goes to pot and life stinks. How we respond in those moments tells us who we made our true confession to. Jesus knew the difficulties Peter would face, and he faced him, and he asked him this question: do you love me? And every day he's asking us, do you love me? Or is it talk? Jesus often challenges our beliefs. Do y'all know that? Have y'all had long-held beliefs for a long time that sometime down the way changed? Anybody in here? And you look back at the beliefs that you once had and you went, boy, I was very immature. God does that. He challenges us in our beliefs so he strengthens our faith. He did this by saying this to his people. He said, you have heard it said, but what? But I say. You heard it said, don't murder. But I say, don't even be angry. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Though that sort of concept was Jesus saying, don't take these beliefs that you have and limit them. Know that they are limitless with God. What you're trying to do is not conform yourself to a rule or a pattern, but you're trying to conform yourself to the personality, character, and image of God. And that means you don't just not murder someone, you don't get angry with them, or you just at least don't let your anger go down with the sun. Because God is what? It's an easy answer. God is, what's the passage say? God is love. And if God is love, what am I? What am I? I better be. And if anger rules my life and my heart, then God is not my God. I am. Jesus, when he changes and challenges our beliefs, he's trying to say, don't conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind in Christ Jesus. Jesus took the belief and he deepened it. He gave it its meaning. Our faith in God transforms us into the love that God is when we seek first his kingdom. So we're on a journey, you guys. Right? Fortunately, God is patient with us. Amen. This doesn't happen overnight. I am not changed in the twinkling of an eye other than I'm saved. I am now saved, and so now I go on to be changed. Right? This is a journey to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a journey of faith. It's a journey that will find our beliefs challenged, changed, and strengthened for the sake of the king, not me. If you're, by the way, you can be kind of have a warning flag go up in your life when your beliefs change for your sake, not his. I always tell people, challenge your beliefs. It's good for us. It strengthens our faith. But if you're changing those beliefs to fit your system and your thinking, then it's perhaps not godly. Mark 9 records the story of when Jesus came back from the Mount of Transfiguration and he finds a group of people arguing with some of his disciples. Y'all remember this? And this father brings his child, wants his child to be healed by the apostles, by the way, who have already been healing, okay? And he gets there and goes, what's all this commotion? The father says, well, I brought my child and wanted your servants to heal him, and they can't. Y'all remember that? Jesus, I wish I was there to see Jesus' face, but maybe I don't, because maybe he'd have been looking straight at me. He said, oh, he just probably dropped his head. Oh, unbelieving generation. And he was, by the way, talking about his disciples, not the people. And he starts to talk to the father, and the father says this to Jesus. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible for one who believes. Immediately the father cried out and said this, I believe, help my unbelief. Anybody ever felt that way? I do believe, but I've got some unbelief in me. Is that okay? By the way, is it okay? That's what is at the crux of faith. Is the element of belief and unbelief mixing together, but putting our trust in the one who we think has the answers. Guys, I tell you, I believe that God has the answers. And I am do so unapologetically, and I don't question him, I question me. And I question the things that are taught in this world. This man found himself on his journey, stuck between a place of belief and unbelief, but he knew that Jesus, the King, had the right answer, and he asked him for the answer. The Father went to the King, the source, the answer. Who are we going to? Who are we beseeching? I believe, help my unbelief. So, do you believe? Or should I say, do you faith? Paul said this to Timothy, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. I know. And I'm convinced that he's able to guard until that day, the day when Jesus comes, what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I got to ask all of us, as we begin this new year and as we begin to understand the concept of advancing the kingdom, Jesus brought the kingdom, we're supposed to advance it. Are we good guards of what's been entrusted to us? Am I doing what he's called me to do? He said to Martha, after her brother had died, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, listen to her response, you guys. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the King. You are King, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. So, he's asking you today, do you believe this? Do you believe all that Phil just told you and spoke to you from Scripture? Or is it just a bunch of words and concepts that are agreeable to you, but not transformative to you? Which is it? Because advancing the kingdom, which is our job, is an action, not a concept. Today, as we strive to seek first the kingdom of God, let us commit together to move away from shallow beliefs to deep faith, to honor God and glorify our King. Not this King, that King. In doing this, we're sure, positive, that the kingdom of God will advance because the power of his Spirit is in us. So, we're starting. We're thinking through this all through the year. What, not just concepts of advancing the kingdom, But what are we going to do? We're going to talk about things that push us to it. We're already getting pushed at it. There are already things happening right now that are pushing us in how we're advancing the kingdom. What part are you playing in it? Are you sitting back and thinking conceptually about why you disagree with this or that? Or are you joining in with the movement? Because I can sit back and be disagreeable about a lot of things. Ask Angie. Or I can actually stand up and join the action. That is what we're called to do. What you do with this message is up to you. If you've been watching, I'm the Star Wars nerd, The Mandalorian, I'm just going to say, I have spoken. God is good. God is good. God is good. I don't know, that's convincing. God is good. And if we believe that, we'll live it. If there is something in your heart that spurred you on this morning and said, you know what, I'm tired of thinking in concepts, I'm ready to start practicing in action, come now. As it may be to be baptized into Christ, it may be just to fully commit yourself to him and need the prayers and the power of the family and the spirit within us to help you do it. Whatever it may be, come now as we stand and we sing this song.